Coming up next on Art Focus, Joseph Galavan interviews painters Mark Flores and William E. Jones about their collaborative show, Perverted by Language.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of LARCH Benefit Celebration on Saturday, October 19th at 5:30 p.m. at the University of Portland. LARCH Portland is a nonprofit organization that builds relationships between people with and without intellectual disabilities and promotes a community of belonging for all. The LARCH Annual Benefit Celebration features performing artists with and without disabilities, auctions, food and drink, and more. Again, that's the LARCH Benefit Celebration on Saturday, October 19th at 5:30 p.m. at the University of Portland, 5000 North Willamette Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Have him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name is Joseph Galavan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Mark Flores and William E. Jones. They have a show called Perverted by Language on now at Private Places at Holiday Studios, which is at 2400 Northeast Holiday, and it's on through November the 8th. So welcome to KBOO.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you.
Mark, you both live in Los Angeles, so you're just visiting to install the show and for the opening.
Right. We also did some studio visits with students at
PNCA.
Yeah, and that's where, so this is hosted by Bobby Woods in
her studio,
which is Private Places.
Yes.
So you have a long-term connection with Bobby from Los Angeles,
right?
And you wanted to show some work, and she invited you to Portland.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, the concept of her series is, she calls it Plus One, and she invites someone to show that she has a connection with, and they invite someone to come with them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a two-person show. And for the last couple of shows, it's been partners. So Kelly Akashi with Caetano Espinoza, I think is his name. Yeah, but you know, whoever you want to invite along, mm-hmm. and I was invited, and I invited Mark to come with me.
Oh, he's your plus one.
Yeah, he's my plus one.
So there are three genres. There are three types of work. There's individual works by you two, and then you collaborated on some of them. So the collaborations are kind of on the left side. You go up the stairs and into this artist studio, and you have a corner, and then there are these four along the left wall. The first one is like David Bowie. You look at it and it's like, oh, it's Bowie. Bowie in his Spiders from Mars kind of mesh shirt, or is it Aladdin Sane? Or?
I think it might have been Aladdin Sane era. It's a really great look.
Yeah. So there's Bowie on stage, and then there's Bowie, a portrait with red hair. So the piece is a complicated piece because it's not just two photos with a painted background. It's like two borders on it, and then within the photos there is stuff collaged on top.
Right.
So who does the painting?
I do.
But who puts the first mark on the board?
Well, the funny thing was the idea was that there were some other photos of Bowie, and he had on these kind of patterned,
was it kind of
arm
patterned
warmers? Yeah. I mean, like they're like leg warmers, but they were on his arms. And so I was using that as a jumping off point, like that sort of trying to make a painting out of that pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't quite work out, and I ended up deciding to go with the pattern that I used,
mm-hmm.
which is a pattern that kind of, I wanted it to sort of represent something, but also to be very abstract.
Mm-hmm. So it's a kind of a pink and purple stripes. I don't know what you chevrons. What would you?
I
call
guess
it?
They would be chevrons. I like to think of them as little pits because it gets darker towards the center, and it kind of like gives the impression of something descending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in Mark's painting practice, a lot of what he does is pattern, mm-hmm. Not unlike fabric patterns, but you know, painting on canvas. Mm-hmm. And so it's really close to what his painting practice is.
And then within the outside pinker border, there's a black and orange kind of a, what would you call it, a rhombus or a...
Right.
The sliced...
And that was, I think it was like, that was the first one, and it didn't turn out quite the way I was hoping it turned out. So I redid it as the second one that was underneath it. Mm-hmm. And so, but they looked good together.
Right.
And I like how it's a little bit skewed, so it kind of throws the whole thing off.
So why did you pick these two, William?
So the concept for my choices generally, excuse me, is I take double page spreads from books, and I generally unbind the books. So the first double page spread you take out is what was intended by the designer, but then you take out other layers. If you've ever unbound a book that's been cloth bound with sewing, you clip those threads and keep taking out layers, and there are these accidental juxtapositions you see. Nothing the designer intended, and sometimes they don't make much sense. But that's a double-page spread from a Mick Rock book. And Mick Rock was probably the main photographer of the early part of Bowie's career and had a lot to do with his fame, because he really photographed all the performances, all the costumes, and those photographs were really widely circulated. And it was a very important part of Bowie's breakthrough.
Is the idea you would, in retrospect, you value it in a totally different way than you did as a little boy?
I don't know. I think there's a continuity. I loved it then, and I love it now. I mean, these are done with enthusiasm, generally.
Yeah.
We're enthusiasts. Really?
How do you bring painting to that?
Well, I mean, that was one of the things that you see over the course of the collaborations, or these different approaches to making a painting, or making painting that can be in a collage. So as you see with the next piece on the wall, the approach to painting is very different.
So that's Elton John in a Watford kit, running out, not looking very fit.
Yeah.
Next to, but he's having a good time because he's the owner and he can do this.
Yes.
And Bridget Riley in front of one of her paintings. What do you know what the painting's called?
It's a black
and white kind of way.
Yeah, painting. I don't have the title of the painting.
But why are those two together?
That's another arbitrary connection. I had a British photo book of culture from the 70s, and it was one of these series that was by decade, and this was the 70s, and because it was published in Britain, there were a lot of British celebrities in it. And the way we've arranged it is that it is a double page spread from this small book. Well, Elton on the left and Bridget Riley on the right. There's no relationship between the two except the decade when they were famous. Right. But all of the caption material has been blacked out. Mark painted over that collage element so that all you see are the images of them. You don't have any information.
Mm-hmm. I must say, growing up in England in the 70s, I'd never heard of Bridget Riley. Huh. She wasn't like pop.
Well, no, she really was kind of considered op art.
Right.
And like a lot of women artists, she had a moment and then she was really forgotten or considered unfashionable for a long time. But really within the last 10 years, she's come back. Mm-hmm. She's considered a major important painter. Mm-hmm. So there was a long time when she wasn't really taken very seriously. Well, she's quite old. I don't know if she's still making paintings. Is she?
I think she is. I think she's still showing.
Right.
I mean, I think of her as a hard edge abstractionist. So that is something that in some ways sets her apart from other painters who are making abstraction. She was kind of like doing her own thing for a while. And I think that the way that I decided to use the painting, my way of approaching painting with it, was to do something that was really soft and a bit kind of almost like
an ombre effect?
Yeah, an ombre or something that gave the impression of some kind of landscape.
And the pattern the pattern you use, it looks almost like an Indian blanket. And, you know, Bridget Riley's paintings, hard edge abstraction, but they always have these really intense optical effects, which is why she was kind of put in with the group of op artists, and they were really dismissed as gimmicks.
So in the background, there's like a handsome guy from a magazine, and then there's like a naked, like half a naked guy.
Yeah.
What are they doing in there?
Well, okay, so the story behind that is Mark works at the Los Angeles Opera, and one of his colleagues had a giant collection of porno that he inherited from his partner. And his partner had died not long before, and it was really not happy for him to be seeing this collection. He wanted to get rid of it because it was a reminder, a sad reminder of his partner. So Mark gave me, from this colleague, 19 boxes of porno magazines.
And each box was like, what, a foot?
Yeah, it's like a foot square or cubic box.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, like so they dominate my office now. And I sorted them out by magazine. Some of them are a lot more interesting than others. But, you know, I think that's probably a double-page spread from Playgirl or Playguy. It's pretty much a mass-market magazine, not hardcore porno. It was a double-page spread accident,
okay,
yes.
You have taken it apart.
Yeah, and in the case of the magazines, they're staple-bound. So you just take out the staples and remove everything. And it's... They're fun. They're a little tricky to work with because the paper's quite thin. Mm-hmm. I love working with fine art books because the paper's really substantial and you can really work with it a lot better.
Yeah. So when you collage, you paint, you stick over his painting?
Well, right. Yeah, that was the concept for our collaboration. We were going to make a kind of sandwich, and one layer would be a painting by Mark, and then the layer on top would be a collage element, and then there'd be another painting, and then another collage element.
Mm-hmm. So quickly moving on, the next one is a guy sort of with his shirt off. He's like half naked, but covering up his genitals is a zigzag painting, and then there's
right.
a punk girl. It looks like an original punk girl.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of self-pierced,
yes,
kind of unhealthy-looking girl from England.
Yes,
and she's like in the middle. Well, she's in that painting too, so it's pretty strong contrast of content.
Yeah,
and the painting is full of contrast: purple, or pink, yellow, black.
Right.
Do you discuss this as you made it?
This was the first collaboration
we
did.
This was the first one we did, and I was just making paintings, and then we were going to just sort of putting things together to see if anything worked. And so I think this one was like sort of like just trying to see how it could like what kind of effect we could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean,
I was the one who did the arrangement.
You did the arrangement on this one, and I think we did it, and then it was like it needs to be on top of something. So I did
You did a background,
monochrome.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a whole pile of paintings that I could choose from, and I thought that one went well with the leather man in the picture and the punk girl. It looks like design from the 70s, so it's kind of good contemporary reference. The big image of the guy who's got his shirt off, that's a centerfold from Drummer magazine, which was the great leather men's magazine, and they would have posters that came as centerfolds in issues, and I took one of those and made it the substrate for the collage.
Right.
So in a way, the scale of the image was one of the things that determined it.
Yeah. And then the fourth of the collaborations is five pictures of Andy Warhol in drag next to three pictures of Debbie Harry, the young Debbie, and then this sort of lightning bolt painting in the background.
Right.
So was this a spread where you just blacked out? You just covered up the text?
It was right. A double-page spread from one of Warhol's books, and we did an experiment. There was no pasting involved. we took the positions of the pictures as they were in the double page spread, and Mark masked them off so they wouldn't get any paint on them, and did his zigzag painting, his lightning bolt painting.
For this, the paint was directly on the page.
And you did spray paint for that.
Right, yeah, that's all spray painted.
Like rattle can?
Rattle can, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Montana, like this kind of graffiti paint that people use.
Yeah.
So it's a way, it's very appropriate for the era.
And then you just peeled off the masking and that revealed the Warhol.
Right, and it was difficult because as I was masking, I sort of didn't have a sense of what it was going to be until I actually finished it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was a challenge. That was kind of a challenge in terms of like figuring out color relationships.
Yeah, Mark's a very precise colorist, but you have to have a whole view of the painting in order to make good judgments about such things.
Right.
So he doing it blind was a real challenge.
Oh, you mean because the Debbie Harry comes in with blue and orange, and that's going to contrast with what you did?
Well, I was trying to, like, yeah, exactly, to find that color sensibility that would make sense with the...
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week are Mark Flores and William E. Jones. Their show, Perverted by Language, is on now, Private Places at Holiday Studios. As in the middle of the display, there's a sculpture by you,
right,
Mark, which is painting made into a sculpture. It's a cross between painting and sculpture, right? It's sort of like bookcases, these cubes with open sides, with paintings in them, almost like you could go and pull one out, you know, it's like a bookshelf,
but
you can't. So the, at the bottom there's a black and white one, which is stripes around a canvas kind of thing, and then a fly,
right?
And then in the middle there's a long one, which is the sort of, what do you call that, marbling effect when you put multiple colors?
It's pore painting.
P-O-U-R.
Yeah, the thing that inspired that painting was all these videos that you see on YouTube of people just pouring paint onto a canvas, and then as it spreads, it creates its own kind of pattern or its own kind of, like...
You know those AMSR videos where people are whispering and trying to put you to sleep or something?
Relax
I'm,
you.
I'm going to pour to this paint onto this surface.
Oh, they've combined the two now?
Yeah.
It's a ASMR soundtrack.
Yeah. So that was the inspiration for that.
Pretty much.
And then the last piece in this piece is a... It looks like a red planet. It's kind of a lumpy...
A lumpy globe.
Yeah, made out of stripes of what?
Styrofoam. Right.
And then there's a hole through it. And if you peep through, the way it's lined up, if you peep through the hole one way, you're looking at Warhol on the wall. So why line it up to frame Warhol?
Well, the way that I was thinking about the work was that to think about focus or to think about how you can look at something, it's effective if there's actually something to look at when you look through it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Warhol piece, but it could be something.
Right. There's not a blank wall.
Right. I mean, if a blank wall is what's there, then yeah, sure. But it's nice if there's something to arrive at.
And the whole thing's on casters or wheels, so you can move
it
around.
Move. Right.
So tell us about the fly at the bottom. There's a sort of fairly... you know, like precisely drawn housefly,
right,
leaning against this black and white line.
So the black and white line painting is actually just one line, and it kind of was a starting point, and then I used tape to just mask a line. So it's just however the tape wrapped around the box, and then I painted it. And one of the things that... There was a moment when there was this fly in my studio. That painting is sort of that moment in a way, but also a way of thinking about how to represent something. So the fly is actually painted in a representational way, and then next to it is this abstraction of this idea of what the fly did.
Right.
And that that box is a kind of like sort of maybe like the closest thing to representing something, because then the next thing is the poor paintings, which are results of certain actions that I did, but they don't really you don't really understand any of what it's just an
it's
abstraction.
It's like a pure form of abstraction,
right?
Like more chance space.
Yeah, and then the top one is kind of like thinking about scale, maybe like something that, because you can see through it, it does open up the space of what you're looking at. And people always associate this thing of like globes or with, you know, the idea of something that is much larger than what they, it is, it represents something that's much larger than what it actually is.
Mm-hmm. And the overall idea is making you rethink the way you look at painting?
Right. Or art in general.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah,
so if some rich guy bought it and stuck it in his penthouse, what would be the effect? Like, if people come over and look at it?
You know, that's funny. I think, people would come over and look at it. And that's how art is. That's like what they do.
Yeah.
and we hope he would put it in a place where people could walk around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see it from every angle.
Yeah.
And maybe you could look through the globe and see someone in the neighboring penthouse through the globe.
So, William, you have one other piece. It's like a triptych.
Well, actually, it's three pieces, but they're displayed all at they're displayed all on one shelf.
Right. So they're all under glass together.
Yeah.
The one that stood out to me was the Chinese sort of Revolutionary Communist Party propaganda pictures.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, red-faced, pretty Chinese soldiers and mm-hmm. peasants.
Yeah.
Where did you get that from?
Well, I've got a collection of old communist publications, and the ones from the People's Republic of China have really vibrant color. There was a process used to make color films in the U.S. called IB Technicolor, and it became too expensive for the film industry in the U.S. to use it to make prints for exhibition. So they scrapped all of the material or all of the equipment and shipped it off to the People's Republic of China. And so there were these proletarian ballets and operas that were the few films that were exhibited in China during the Cultural Revolution, and they were in these intense colors because they were made with IB Technicolor technology. So it's actually a representation of those sort of, you know, the most disreputable cultural artifacts you could imagine, you know, this Cultural Revolution Chinese communist stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, who wants to think about that anymore? But it was part of the 70s. It was part of the era that all of this stuff comes from.
Yeah. And then you have Kennedy in Ireland.
Yeah.
This is a bit more pornographic because the other one has porn in the background, but this is more explicit.
Yeah.
You can actually see what's going on. So if you did this in Ireland, you'd probably get chased down the street by old ladies.
Oh, by all means. That's part of the reason I do it. Although I don't, I think I could outrun almost any Irish old lady. But, you know,
what were you thinking?
What was I thinking? These are all gutter collages. And what I do is I take these double page spreads that I remove from magazines and books and I layer them. The smaller the layer goes on top, and the smallest layer is at the very top layer. And so you get to see these glimpses of things. And I thought it was this amazing correspondence of JFK's hair and this body that's showing you its hind quarters and testicles and... You know, it's almost like they're in his face, and I think that's kind of poetic and beautiful.
Was that accidental?
Well,
or was that from you moving?
It was from me moving it around. Right. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's the main creative work of these pieces. You've got to figure out exactly where the layer goes on top of the one beneath it.
Mm-hmm. And then the third one, I'll read out the name: Gutter Collage 24. Brackets, The Stooges, Holger Mines Surrendering, Snapshot, Angolan Guerrillas, Margit Schiller Apprehended, 2018. So this is kind of like you're doing it. This is like when you see a Gerhard Richter thing about Baader Meinhof or something. It's like serious, serious goings on. But yours is a bit more kind of, I don't know, whimsical? Or I don't really know what to think about it. What is this, Iggy and the Stooges?
Stooges. Absolutely. This is an advertisement for a Stooges album. Right. And it just happens to have this bright red print in it. You know, the Stooges are in red letters. And it matches the red of the photograph of Holger Mainz being apprehended.
So why is that a red photo in red?
You know, it was part of a book called Pictures on the Run, which was Baader Meinhof pictures collected by Astrid Prohl, who was a member of the RAF. And the designer, in a very heavy-handed way, decided to make some of the pictures in red. Okay. But it benefited me because it matched the Stooges.
Was it the same red?
Roughly, yeah. I mean, you know, that's part of what affects my choices. I try to get formal correspondences, color or line, that are, you know, it isn't just a question of the clash of subject matter. It's also a formal decision that goes on. Mm-hmm.
Do you think working together was worth it?
It was fun. It's the first time we've done it, even though we've known each other for almost 25 years.
Right.
Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
And so Mark, you have a studio where you go off and do your...
Right.
Because you have a wood shop kind of stuff. But to do this work, you work together at home.
A lot of it was done at home, yeah.
And so it was an easy way to do it?
Fairly easy. I mean, I kept producing all these different paintings just to arrive at the spot that I thought that it made sense with his collage elements.
And there were experiments to see if it could technically work, that the whole thing could hold together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we had to...
throw a lot of stuff away?
Not too much, but we really had to do experiments with what kind of paper was good to use and adhesive and all that kind of technical stuff. But also, you know, what kind of paintings look good, were vibrant enough to hold their own with the really quite present photographs. I mean, you put a picture of Bowie in a work of art, everyone's going to immediately look at it. So you've got to have something quite assertive to hold its own with a picture of Bowie, for instance.
And if you use the title of a Fall album as your title of your show, Perverted by Language... You're immediately part of a little club of around the world of people who love the Fall.
Yeah. I mean, I wish there were more time to explain, but...
I would say get on Spotify and listen to Perverted by Language. What was it, 2000 and... No, what was it?
No, 1983. It's one of the great Fall albums. Okay. It's wonderful. Country on the Click is from 2003, that's a great one.
That was the other one you were talking about.
Yeah, but Perverted by Language is really one of... they released like 40 albums, and this is one of the handful of best.
Mm-hmm. I'm Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Mark Flores and William E. Jones. Their show, Perverted by Language, is on now at Private Places at Holiday Studios, 2400 Northeast Holiday Street through November the 8th. Thanks very much for coming into KBOO.
Thanks for having us.
Andy, whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Had him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy, whoa, whoa, silver stream. Can't tell them apart at all.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from the Clinton Street Theater, open since 1915, featuring independent films, parties, and community events. Located at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland, the full event schedule, tickets, and showtimes, and more information is available online at cstpdx.com. The time is 11:58. Coming up next is Wakanda America.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Portland Latin American Film Festival at the Hollywood Theater. The next film in the series, The Good Girls, Las Niñas Bien, is showing Wednesday, October 16th at 7:30 p.m. Surrounded by extravagant luxury, Sofia lives in opulence in 1980s Mexico City. However, when Mexico's 1982 economic crisis hits her husband's business hard, the elegant lifestyle Sophia is accustomed to falls to pieces, and her arrogance turns into desperation. Again, that's The Good Girls, Las Niñas Bien, showing Wednesday, October 16th, 7:30 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
Así que vamos a delirar, deliremos por un ratito.
Hoy marchamos por la democracia.